Ladies and gentlemen, Roto Grinders, welcome back to the DFS Weekly Roundup. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm the editor-in-chief at rosterwatch.com. I am the host of Roster Watch on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. And joining me once again this week for the second iteration of this program, the Clip Show, what they call in chat the Troll Cast, it's my boy, CJ Kaltenbach, the Siege. Siege, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Hopefully they listened to us last week. Or I guess by us, I mean me. the producer tried to get together and blindside me with Lev Bell.
Hey, that was all your boy Simon. That was his idea. I was a willing participant.
Yeah, and sure. That's what happens.
Well, they listened to us about, you know, we agreed with Chris Raybon about the Rams passing game, most specifically Cooper Kupp. We disagreed with Tip and Pick about the Kendall Wright 8 to 12 targets. I will say this week, I do love Tip and Pick's pick much more than I did last week. And for you guys who don't know, or this might be your first time watching this show, it's a new show here on Grinders Live. What it is Siege and I go through during the week and we listen to these shows. We watch these shows with these other experts here on Roto Grinders. And between us and our great producers here, we come up with 6 different takes from these shows that we either found interesting, that we agree with, that we disagree with, that we find unusual, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in doing so, we go through, we talk about them, then we get to our own hot takes, our own swindly bets. Hopefully, CJ is beginning to worry a little bit about our preseason PPR bet.
I have zero concern. I'm feeling great.
Leonard Fournette versus Christian McCaffrey.
No concern. None. Nada. Zilch. Just as good as I did before week one.
First of all, any thoughts on this slate, CJ? Just kind of like last week, just general overview. I see this week is kind of like I'm a little tilted by my fear of missing out of the Sunday night game and my fear of, you know, possibly fading Julio or fading a Ty Montgomery and having the whole world own those guys and kind of have the hammer on me. With that being said, you know, golly. The lineups that you put together when you do manage to squeeze in a Julio Jones start to kind of feel like there are going to be a lot of similar lineups. There's going to be a lot of suboptimal lineups. I'm still working on it. I'm still playing with it. We have some props in for that game, for the Dallas game, and some others that I have up at rosterwatch.com for our pro members. We'll be going through all of those. But a big, big prop for Julio Jones, 6.5 reception, 98.5 yard monster.
You got the TD prop there?
Yeah, let me pull it up.
Important part, because that's only like 15 DK points. You can fade that. What's the TD prop?
I think it's minus 150. Let me see.
Minus 150?
Minus 150. It's tied for the highest TD prop on the board so far. But I've only got props in for 4 games. So
still, that's not an easy number to fade.
But just general thoughts. I mean, what are you thinking about the slate? Is this one that builds itself, or is this one that you're kind of tilted by, or like how do you feel about it?
I feel pretty good about it, to be honest. I think that people are playing the wrong plays in a couple of the chalk games, so that really makes the pivots easy. You know, you don't have to fade the chalk games; you just get to play the other guys. And when your guy scores a touchdown, it means their chalk play is not, and you just get leverage on the field immediately. So I'm really happy with that. I think there's a couple sneaky games that have gone completely overlooked this week. I feel a lot more confident this week than last week. Like last week, when you're taking a stand against the Seattle defense, you never feel good about it, and it could backfire like it did. This week, yeah. I feel like I'm taking stands in way better spots. So I feel pretty good.
All right. Well, we'll get to them because I'm interested to hear who you think some of these chalk players in the two big games, the two high over-under games are, and how you're looking to pivot. But why don't we just go ahead and get to some of these takes from some of the other great hosts here on the Roto Grinders platform. This first one comes from Tyler Beaker and Britt Devine. They were on the PFF show, and they had this to say about Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers, I love this play. Back home, it's nearly impossible to win on the road in Denver for the first couple of weeks. You go to altitude, you aren't conditioned for NFL, almost impossible. And Rivers had 3 touchdowns against one of the toughest defenses you're basically going to come across here. I absolutely love him at home here against the Dolphins. Tyler, what else you got for me?
Yeah, he just crushed against the Broncos last weekend. We'll get a considerably easier matchup at home playing against the Dolphins in week 2. Miami allowed the 6th most passing touchdowns and the 4th most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks last year. 8 of their 16 opponents scored at least 20 drafting points against Miami, and 4 of those netted 30 plus points. I just think Rivers is in an absolute smash spot here at 5,800 on DK. Keenan Allen looks as good as ever. He hurdled a defender at one point and jumped into another, breaking the pylon for a score. Tyrell Williams went for
He broke the pylon, right? Keenan, broke the pylon, not a bone or anything, right?
No, he's still healthy for now.
Okay.
Fingers crossed he keeps it going. Because he's one of the best receivers when he's healthy and on the field. And Rivers has another great weapon in Tyrell Williams, who went off for 5 catches, 125 yards, and a score last time he played Miami in 2016. I think another 3-touchdown game is certainly within the range of outcomes of Rivers for this week.
Okay, so that was Britt Devine and Tyler Beeker of Pro Football Focus. Basically, Beeker was saying that Rivers is a smash play. He says he's in a great spot, coming off a great performance. And what was a really a tough matchup there at Denver, and that was on that was the Monday night game. So now comes home to a great matchup, albeit on a short week. As far as, the roster watch matchup tool, this is just outside of our top 12 matchups for opposing quarterbacks at number 13. So it's a little bit lower than what you might see at other places. As I was talking to Siege about off camera, I think that has something to do with our evaluation of the Dolphins cornerback, Xavien Howard. He's somebody who I think he's a second year kid out of Baylor. And I just know from our time at Dolphins training camp, that's a guy who the Dolphins staff is really hoping has a big breakout this year. And just the other thing that kind of concerns me, Siege, is like I hear all these people talking about, all right, well, I mean, this week there's the Keenan Allen, right? It seems like Keenan Allen's going to be chalk at 5,800. And the pricing is not reflective of what he was able to do against a tough defense on Monday night because the pricing was in before the Monday night games. But, like, when we hear these narratives about Phillip Rivers, it's like if people say, yeah, we got Keenan Allen back and all this. But when you look at the splits for – since Keenan Allen came into the league – Phillip Rivers has actually had 3 more fantasy points per game in games where Keenan Allen wasn't playing, which is something that I just thought was extremely odd. But
it's simple. They just can't like play ball possession, right? Keenan Allen's their possession guy, so they had to go more deep balls and get more shootouts than kind of ball control.
Well, I guess that's as good an explanation as any. I think it's worth noting that Phillip Rivers was he was QB6. In 2016. So he would like, as far as a season long quarterback, he was number 6 in fantasy scoring. In his second best game of the entire season came against these very Dolphins. He scored 31.3 points on DK in that game when you add on the bonus for going over 300 yards. But he's just so cheap on DraftKings. He's only 5,800.
But here's the thing. Jared Goff is cheaper.
I don't want any part of Jared Goff. This kid, get out.
Why? Why? He's good. We talked about this last week.
Yeah, we talked about it. It was a much better spot. Much better spot.
What? I mean, you think the Redskins' defense is any good?
No, I think they're pure trash. But okay. I literally think that the Indianapolis, the Vontae Davis-less Indianapolis defense is expansion level. I think it's absolutely horrid. It's so bad that it's going to make Carson Palmer look good.
So is the Redskins.
I mean, I get it. It's probably fine. I don't want it. I could pay $700 more and get Rivers.
But I can't play. You can't stack the Chargers in cash. Like Melvin Gordon is just going to absolutely smash in this matchup.
That's the thing. You can't play
Keenan Allen. If you can't play the entire Chargers offense, so you're going to have to stop somewhere. And it's like I would just much rather play Jared Goff in a game that I think can shoot out against the Redskins, because I don't know if the Rams defense is any good because of how bad that Colts offense is. We learned absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. I think this game could shoot out. Like, give me Jared Goff. Like, they won 42-3. 42-3, and he threw the ball 30 times. You're telling me I'm going to get a floor of 30 pass attempts for 5,100?
I mean, I'm not sure. It's a one-game sample against the Colts. They look like the worst team in the last 5 years.
But they won 42-3, so they had the game in complete control, and he still threw the ball 30 times.
All I'm saying is this. Phillip Rivers, as far as a season-long play, has not finished under quarterback 6 in the last – going back 4 previous seasons from now. He's a good quarterback. His offensive line, I don't care what you say about how bad it is. It's a little bit better this year. I just I, I The one thing I do agree with is that I love Melvin Gordon. I think it's 7K. I mean, sign me up all day long. I can't play Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen, because here's the thing. If I get in Phillip Rivers, it just makes so much sense to get in Keenan Allen and just pair them up like that, because both seem like they're good values. With that being said, Keenan Allen does seem like he's going to be mega chalk.
I would play Blake Bortles in cash before I played Phillip Rivers, just the way roster construction worked out. Not get saying out. I would ever do that. I'm just saying, like, I can't play all three of those, and I think Phillip Rivers is clearly the third on my list.
0% Phillip Rivers?
Probably.
Okay. All right. Well, look, the hot takes are already getting started here.
That's a hot take? Phillip Rivers is chalk this week?
Well, no. I think zero. I mean, you're going to put in 150 lineups in probably 10 different contests, right? I mean, you're a mega multi-entry.
You can't play everyone. You can't play 10% of everyone. You got to take a stand somewhere.
So you're just going to play the high price guys, and then golf. You're just going to go to golf instead as your low priced option.
Probably, yeah.
Fair enough. We'll see how it works out. He's the Siege. I am Alex Dunlap here on the DFS Weekly Roundup on Roto Grinders. Let's go to the next clip here. This is from the Yahoo show, the Yahoo DFS show. And this comes from one Mr. Andy Behrens.
So a player that I think has just been sort of under discussed coming out of week one. And listen, there's a lot to chew on when we come out of opening week, but Leonard Fournette had 29 touches, and against what we think is going to be a pretty good defensive front over the balance of the season, he had 124 total yards and generally looked like the Leonard Fournette that we saw in 2015 at LSU. So I guess if I'm going to hot take this, I'm going to say that next year, Leonard Fournette is going to be a top three overall pick in season-long fantasy drafts. I think he's an absolute star right now. He's $21 this week in Yahoo's game, and is likely in line for a better line than he delivered just last week. I think that kid is a star, and it's only health with him. That's my absolute only worry. Any week that he goes into it healthy, I want to roll with him, especially if he's going to be priced like that.
Okay, so that is Andy Behrens of Yahoo. He says that Leonard Fournette is a star and that he's in line for a better week this week than his monster, his mega throbber in week one. And to me, CJ, I say surprise, surprise. People are just now realizing that Fournette is the sickest. I mean, I've been telling you for months, Fournette is the sickest. He's the man child. He's the beast. He's the best running back that I have evaluated live since I started doing this professionally back in 2011. He's an epic monster. He's the Ferrari. He's the poorhouse steak. Just an epic beast. Look,
he's so good. He can only play 60% of the snaps. Whew, what a beast, let me tell you.
What a beast. Like I was saying earlier.
What a dream. What a dream game flow. What a dream.
Marshawn Lynch only played 48% of snaps last week, and people are acting like he's chalked this week. Look, here's my thing. Just let me say my piece on Fournette quickly. And first of all, let me preface this all by saying that ever since I've gotten the prop in on Leonard Fournette, I've cooled on him a little bit. Let me pull that prop up. It's not even that. It's like not even good as far as a touchdown prop. It's 65.5 rushing yards. And I will get the touchdown prop here in a second. I have too many windows open. But my main deal is the Tennessee front seven is good, right? This isn't a great matchup. But the matchup last week versus Houston, according to our proprietary analytics, which are back tested and very accurate, it was a little bit worse. That was the 10th worst matchup last week. This week it's only the 12th worst. And also last week he was facing a stack box, eight plus defenders in the box 58% of the time. I just think if you look at what Tennessee did last week versus beast mode, the box was only stacked 33% of the time. So I understand that might be different this week, considering that Jacksonville has pure trash on the outside with Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns now, as opposed to Cooper and Crabtree for the Raiders. I get it, but I just think it's a better matchup. He's at home. He'll be facing most likely less eight plus man boxes, and the Jacksonville Jaguars defense looks good. And if they do to Mariota to any degree what they did to, the Texans quarterbacks. And I understand that Mariota is much better than these idiots. It's a much better offensive line than those idiots that they have down there in Houston. I mean, all granted. But if they get to him in any kind of degree, game flow is going to be the same. Well, they just feed this dude. You've seen what the game plan is. It is draft Leonard Fournette, hide Bortles, feed the beast.
I think if the Jaguars could have dreamt of any game flow last week, they would have dreamt of Tom Savage throwing two picks in the red zone, like, so give them short fields, get a huge lead early, and just run the ball. That ain't happening again. Like, they ain't going to have a game flow like that. The Jaguars' offense is pathetic. Their defense is good, but they're not facing Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson. Like, they're facing Marcus Mariota. Like, this isn't – like, amateur hour is over. Congratulations, Jaguars. You took advantage of a horrific Houston offense that is no good. Congratulations. That's good. That was a nice preseason game. It was a nice warm-up. Now we're going to get a dose of reality. But the fact is that they're going to stack the box eight or more in the box. Like, this idea that the Tennessee is not going to put eight in the box. It's Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee and Blake Bortles. Like, they might leave one of those guys wide open to throw another guy in the box because Blake Bortles probably will miss him, even if he's wide open. Like, I think the idea that Fournette is going to get this kind of workload, like, he got 24 DK points in a dream spot when everything in the world possibly went right for him. What happens when he twists his ankle? What happens when the line, when he doesn't get to, when they fall behind? What happens with all that? We saw Chris Ivory play 40% of the snaps. Like, this is the ceiling for Leonard Fournette. Don't fall into this trap. This is a mistake. Do not play Fournette. And I'll probably say this 16 more weeks if he keeps getting lucky. But he's not that good. As soon as the first injury happens, he'll be a bust. I'm not, no concern.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I love Leonard Fournette, and I don't think that it was a dream spot. Last week versus
the game flow was perfect. They were up like 20-0.
The game flow was perfect, but like as far as the personnel and the defensive front seven, it's just, you know, that many stacked boxes. I mean, that's technically, I don't see that as a dream spot. He had to create completely on his own. With that being said,
he didn't even create. He averaged 3.8 yards a carry. It's not like this guy was out there just destroying, and like he didn't even do that great. Like, you know, like he had 3.8 yards per carry on his carries. Like, you want to take a guess what Chris Ivory had?
I don't know.
4.7. Like, he wasn't even as good as Chris Ivory. Like,
yeah, he was,
let's calm down a little bit here.
All right. Well, comparing Chris Ivory to Leonard Fournette is the most cockamamie thing that I've ever heard. But I will admit this. The prop is terrible. What the offshore books are telling us is this is probably going to be no good. It's 65.5 yards. The over-under on receptions is 2.5. The over-under on receiving yards is 19.5, and the touchdown prop is plus 125. So he's not even a favorite to score. If you transform all that into a projection, it's probably for about 13.67 points there on DraftKings. That's 2.1x value from what we're getting as far as early props from Vegas. Okay, let's go to the next one here. I'll be interested to hear what Siege says about this one. This one comes from Football Guys, and it has to do with what the hell is going on in the Baltimore Ravens backfield this week in DFS.
Buck Allen, I've been looking at some projection models. He's starting to pop in some places. Are you buying Buck Allen, or is Terrence West the guy for us week two versus Cleveland?
Well, I think you can make a case for both of them, but Buck Allen is the guy that I'm more interested in this week. Number one, because his salary is a bit more depressed than it probably should be based on the volume that they both saw last week. Last week, actually, Buck Allen outsnapped Terrence West 33-27. And in terms of carries, Allen had 21, whereas West had 19. So very similar. But for me, the bigger value there is where they're getting their carries. And in this case, Buck Allen is getting a lot of his in the end zone near the goal line. And even though Terrence West scored a touchdown last week, if you're really watching that game and kind of knowing what's going on, the red zone carries were primarily geared towards Buck Allen. So I think he's the guy you should be looking at, and he's the sneakier play of the two.
Yeah, and I think he fits the PPR sites better anyway. Like, FanDuel looks really soft this week. I was able to get Cooks, Julio, some good running backs in, and didn't really need to punt that much. But on DraftKings, things feel a little bit tighter. You get that full point PPR. And I think he kind of fits that build a little bit better for his skill set.
Okay, so look, like I said earlier, last week I totally disagreed with Tip and Pick's take on Kendall Wright. It felt real thin to me, but like I really like the Buck Allen take. I think Dan and Tip and Pick, they both talked about how they liked his volume from last week, about how he outsnapped you know, out-touched Terrence West. We all know Terrence West sucks. Buck Allen's actually been a pretty good running back. Siege, I looked back at any game that Buck Allen's had with the Ravens where he's had reasonable volume. I just figured like maybe 16 touches. And he's had five of those games before last week, which is the, you know, the most inefficient game that he's ever had whenever he's had 16 touches or so. His fantasy, his DraftKings outputs on those games, 16.5 points, 18.4 points, 38 points, 22.4 points, and 13 points. So it seems like when he's gotten reasonable volume previously, his pass catching ability has helped him to be a fantasy asset. At just 4,100, do you see him as somebody who could be a good pivot off of the, I don't know, these James Whites or these Jacquizz Rodgers of the world?
Well, I think that Buck Allen is the chalk and the James White and those guys are the pivots.
Oh.
Again, this is a situation where, the Ravens got an absolute outlier in terms of game flow. They ran the ball 42 times and they threw 19. I promise you Joe Flacco will not throw the ball less than 25 times all season. So, again, this was a situation where Andy Dalton was just handing the football over like Pez dispensers, candies, and just was handing it to the Ravens so they could just run the ball from in front. That's not going to happen. Not even this week against the Browns, I don't think. I think that you realistically are going to be looking at a team that's going to rush the ball 30 to 35 times a game. And if they split the work evenly like they did last week, you know, that's still only 15 touches to West and 15 touches to Dixon. And West has the goal line work, and they just signed Langford to the active roster. And then today they signed Alex Collins. I can't decide what is more of an indictment on the confidence level they have in Buck Allen. Promoting Jeremy Langford right. Or promoting Alex Collins? Neither one of those are guys that you really want on your active roster.
No. Yeah, Alex Collins, a guy that they had to, you know, God, he got – if the Seahawks thought that Eddie Lacy looked better than him, I mean, how bad can you possibly look if that's the case? So I agree, man, but I think that Buck Allen, if we're talking about the game script and whether he got swindled by it, I almost think that he got kind of – put into a world where they were picking off Andy Dalton every single series. They were up. They didn't need to use him as a pass catching back. I think when the absence of a Danny Woodhead, you know, they've obviously decided that as part of their offensive install to have this sort of pass catching receiving option out of the backfield. It seems to me like that's Buck Allen, and I think at least for the time being that he's somebody who I think you're fine to play. I think Buck Allen is a perfectly fine play this week in PPR, because I think that his role is going to be significantly different.
He has no ceiling. What's the ceiling with Terrence West there?
It was 38 points previously. He was back in 2015. But they
didn't have Terrence West back then. Then he's not going to get the goal line work. That kills all his touchdown upside. You're basically hoping for six receptions, 50 yards, and a score. It's a long shot at best. You know, guys that would play over him include James White, Rex Burkhead, Alvin Kamara. Play over him.
Oh well, I love Alvin Kamara this week. He could give your Patriots the Kareem Hunt treatment.
I'm all on. I'm on the Kamara train for sure this week. I think there's gonna be no. I would be surprised if AP. I would not be surprised if AP is a healthy scratch. It would not surprise me. He has no role in this game.
Would you play Tariq Cohen over him?
No,
we haven't gotten your Tariq.
Over what's Buck your Tariq? Allen?
What is your Tariq Cohen hot take? He's chalk, right?
I mean, I think him and Buck Allen are the cheap chalk guys. I have interest in zero of them. Tariq Cohen, just for a visual, is 3 inches shorter and 20 pounds lighter than Isaiah Thomas. And you're expecting him to play football? This is not going to work.
He played it pretty well last week.
But yeah, clearly, one of the worst teams ever against pass catching running backs. He's not going to be able to hold up. He just can't.
Right. Unsustainable. Okay. Speaking of going from somebody who's a young player to Tariq Cohen to somebody who is one of the oldest men in all of football, certainly. One of the oldest that we think about rostering as a skill player in DFS. This comes from Evan Silva in the DFS Pick 6 show. Definitely an interesting idea that he's floating around for a particular tight end.
you know, Antonio Gates is out there for a reason. And now they're going back home. This is the time to make the narrative happen, you know. So I think Antonio Gates is like, he's a FanDuel play this week as far as I'm concerned. He's not going to go out there and catch seven balls. You know, I don't know if he can play him on DraftKings. But I think he's in the mix on FanDuel for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if he can catch seven balls in warmups. Like, he's just an old man. Like, is he going to get out of his wheelchair to catch seven balls? I don't think so. I think it's just going to be roll me into the end zone, hope I catch something. Let's go.
I mean, all right. So that was Evan Silva. He says that Antonio Gates is in play versus the Dolphins, while Eric Crane says he's too old. I mean, I agree with Crane here. I think that. I just, like C's just said off air, like I don't have any room for any more Chargers really anyway. Even if I did, I don't want Gates. I also think, like, are they going to – do you think maybe C's, even if you were considering, would you be a little bit worried that after the disappearing act from Hunter Henry last week with how much they seem to love that guy and consider him a piece moving forward, that they might make a dedicated effort to maybe get the ball to him possibly a little bit more? I just have I have questions about that. It's our fifth worst matchup of the week for opposing tight ends. I just think there are too many other
fifth
cheap
worst?
Tight ends. Yeah.
So. Oh, no. Like, I was with you all the way to that point. This is a dream matchup for tight ends. I was the reason I was most disappointed for the rainout in week one in the Hurricanes because I didn't get Cameron Brait unowned against this Dolphins linebacking core. This Dolphins linebacking core can't cover anyone.
No,
and I've heard Evan talk about this all preseason wrong, and Evan is absolutely right. Like, this is a linebacking core that's too old. They can't cover anyone. How do you think those guys are going to cover anyone? Like, they're slow. They were slow in the preseason. They're slow in the regular season. Like, for me, this is a situation where if it was anyone else other than Antonio Gates, I'd be picking on this spot because I feel like I missed it last week, and it really bugs me.
I hate everything about it. Let's see. Los Angeles, the Miami Dolphins. I'm sorry. Let's see here.
I just look at their defense and it's just like, you know, you're looking at like Timmons and Alonzo and it's just like, which one of those guys can cover exactly?
Yeah. But you also look at the safety play with Jones. I mean, look, man, I think that it's a matchup that personnel wise and, you know, probably from what our algorithm thinks is maybe could be from a game script wise. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what it is, but it's saying it's the fifth worst of the week. I trust it. I don't like anything about the matchup. And I mean, I'd just rather go with, Jared Cook, Charles Clay, Martellus in the late night hammer. I mean, Fleener. I mean, what?
Hooper.
Hooper, how am I going to get on Gates?
That's my problem. Like, he's just too far down on the list for me, but I wish I could get to him. There's just too many tight ends that I like this week. So I'm with you in that regard. I probably can't get to him, but I wish I could.
All right, so let's go. It looks like we have another thoughts in general about Kobe Fleener chalk. That can be very bad chalk.
Trust me, I don't know if I've been trying to get this question answered all week, and I've yet to hear an explanation that's, like, made me feel good about it. Are we sure that the Saints' offense is even good? And I say this in retrospect to the Patriots are going to double Michael Thomas, and they're going to take him basically out of the game. Kind of like Xavier Rhodes did to him week one. If
that's
Drew Brees' option,
that's your stance is that Belichick takes away Thomas. That's what I thought, kind of.
Yeah, I'd be stunned if he did anything else. And so that means then it's Ted Ginn, Brandon Coleman, Tommy Lee Lewis, Kobe Fleener, and Mark Ingram as like these options that can keep up with the Patriots. Like, the spread is -6, -6.5. This isn't a -3 spread. Like, everyone's treating this like it's going to go back and forth. That's not necessarily what Vegas is telling us here.
I mean, I hate to say it, man, but your Patriots defense looks horrible.
I mean, that's the better argument, obviously.
It doesn't. I mean, Drew Brees is Drew Brees is a future, you know, Hall of Famer. I mean, I'm a little bit of a homer because he won me a state championship back in high school. But I'm always going to be a fan of a fan of Drew, but I think with the over under in the game, I think that he's gonna find ways. I kind of think, man, I'm kind of buying into the whole stuff that when there's no Willie Snead and there's no Brandon Cooks, it could be a Kobe Fleener. And if you look at the props, man, like Kobe Fleener is on the very top of my props list. I only have about 35 props in, but he's facing New England's actually the only matchup that we have that's like a tough matchup is their defense against opposing tight ends. He's 3,100 on DK. The prop is 4 receptions for 50.5 yards. And the touchdown odds are plus 150. So through the transformation, that's 11.45 projected scoring based on the offshore odds right now. That's 3.69x value with probably upside from there. I just don't know how much I can buy into Kobe Fleener chalk, man.
How else are they going to score touchdowns? Like, say you project them to score 3 touchdowns to get them to 21. Like, where are you assigning them?
I mean, you'd have to. It seems like one would have to go to some kind of. Yeah, I mean,
so that's the thing, you know. Like, and all these guys are cheap. So if you think they're going to score 21, you need to be overweight on all these guys because they're all cheap. And if they get in the end zone, then they're going to get you a huge profit potential. Like, I feel like people are underrating the Saints because if you think they're going to get to 21, that means like you're just projecting 3 guys or 2, I guess, with one guy getting maybe getting 2 between Fleener, Ginn, Coleman, Tommy Lee Lewis, Ingram, and Kamara to have a mash day. And I don't think the ownership percentage on any of them matches what the team total is. Now, if you think the Patriots are going to route them and you think it's going to turn into a Mike Gillisley game in the third and fourth quarter, I think that's a viable outcome, and I agree with you. But I don't think that that's what the chalk opinion is. So I'm confused. Like, where is the Saints ownership going to go?
Yeah, well, do you think that the average player is sharp enough to think about Belichick taking away Michael Thomas? Or do you think they're just going to say, oh, Michael Thomas?
I mean, I agree, but we're better than that. So, like for this show, like, let's ask the question, like, if we think they're going to score 21, right, and they're going to get 3 touchdowns to, and you say that they're going to take out Thomas, and that's your favorite.
Right. Okay. Right.
Where do you think they're going to go? Like, I think the answer could be Ingram, Kamara, and Fleener, and that's why I have a lot of interest in Kamara this week.
I love Kamara this week. I love him. It's the same. I mean, we just saw what that kind of player. You know what Kareem Hunt. I mean, no one's going to have a Kareem Hunt game, but. It's, I mean, 50% of snaps last week. Adrian Peterson looks dead. You know, Mark Ingram is who, you know, we know who he is. They think, I mean, they obviously love Kamara. That was 50% of snaps. He outsnapped both those guys last week. So I love him. I think I kind of love Fleener. It's just I'm going to have what do you think his ownership percentage is going to be in the millimaker?
Probably Zach Ertz, like 30.
Well, I didn't like eating Zach Ertz chalk last week, but it turned out okay for us. So.
Yeah, I finally got around to it super late.
You just had to do it.
I just had to do it. And I was like, oh, I'll be at an open bar. Worst comes to worst.
All right. So, oh, and then just one other quick thing. Any other of those tight ends sort of in that value tier that you like? I mentioned
earlier. Let's save that for a later take.
Okay. Let's get to the next one. This is – from the Swole cast. This one also comes from Evan Silva.
You guys mentioned Bell earlier, but I like Zeke for 2,000 less. This is a GPP play. Should get plenty of volume. Saw increases in the passing game.
Yeah,
career high in receptions and routes run. It's a better than expected or better than looking matchup against Denver. I think he eats this week.
Yeah, and the Denver defense usually strikes fear into people, but Silva, they're not very good against the run, correct?
Well, they weren't last year. They were 21st in run defense DVOA. They were pretty solid on Monday night, but now they are on a short week, and they're facing a much better offensive line than what they faced against, you know, the Chargers. So I love the Zeke pick.
Okay, so that was Evan Silva, and look, he loves Zeke. And this time I agree with him. I love Zeke this week. I'm actually unbelievably tilted. It seems like people are starting to kind of tout the guy and point everything out that's just so perfect about this spot. He's my lock button play of the week. Regardless, it's not even close. He'll be the player I have the highest exposure to regardless of contest format. Whether I play mostly cash games, but even in the tournaments that I'm playing, like, all it's just Zeke. Like, the big dog is going to eat. He's going to eat. He's going to get fed and fed and fed, and the big dog is going to feast. I love it. It's the 12th best matchup for running backs on the week, and people are going to look and see Denver, and then they'll say Zeke going to Denver. No, I'm like, I don't want to do. They don't understand that everything is going to point to a monster here. This is the no fly zone. Nobody wants to throw against these guys. Zeke had a career high in receptions last week. They're going to want to throw underneath to him. He's going to get baked in volume, game script. It's Zeke. He's the big dog. He's going to eat. I absolutely love it. I can't believe he's 2,000 less than Le'Veon. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer.
I'm torn. I want to hop on Zeke, but if I'm going to do it and I think he's going to be 15%, that means I'm going to want like 40% in tournaments if I'm going to hop on. And I just don't know where I'm going to get 40% running back exposure from, because like I've already got a long enough list as it is. Like, I'm not fading Ty Montgomery chalk. I think it's some of the best chalk we've had in years. Like, I love Melvin Gordon. My love for Melvin Gordon goes back to last year, and there's no reason why he can't crush in this spot. I want a lot of Kamara. I want some Jaquizz. I want some McCaffrey. I want some Brex Burkhead. And I want Mike Gillisley. And, like, now I'm starting to run out of ownership percentage real quick here. Like, and that even gets before I get to Chris Carson, who I have a lot of interest in for tournaments. So it's just, I don't know where I'm going to find the running back ownership. I like the spot. I agree he's under-owned. Like, if this matchup said, you know, at some other team that wasn't Denver that's right around him, I think the ownership would be double. That's one of the reasons why I want to hop on. I think we're getting really good ownership on him. Even if he trickles up to 17%, that's probably too low. I just don't know how I'm going to make that work in my roster builds. Like, do I go two tight ends in some lineups? That's a way to do it.
Is this because you want to have Julio too?
I think I'm going to be under the weight of the field on Julio. I think he's going to get to 35% before it's all said and done.
You don't think people have too much trouble making a good lineup for those who say, oh, man, I can't do this? You just think people are just too scared of missing out on the
– I think people are too scared of missing out. I think people just think, like, that's where the touchdowns are going to go. And I'm not convinced that – I don't think the ownership of the players is where the touchdowns are going to go. Like, if I can get overweight on Freeman, Gabriel, and Hooper to fight against a chalk Julio, I think that's the way I want to go. Now, I'm not going to completely fade Julio. Obviously, it's in a game I love, and he's obviously super talented, and he can go score 40. So I'm not going to completely fade him. But I think it's a situation where I'm going to be significantly underweight the field. But the problem is I really want Antonio Brown. So it's just – I don't know how I'm going to make the salary work. Zeke's a guy I'm going to try to get in, but if I need to make a cut, he's probably the first guy to go.
Well, you bring up Antonio Brown. That's interesting. Before we get to the next one, let's talk about the Steelers a little bit. Because to me, I haven't heard a thing about people talking about Big Ben at home and these, you know, something getting Le'Veon Bell, probably, you know, paying up to get Le'Veon Bell at an ownership that we would have never imagined, given it's probably a week that, you know, people in any other week, people would be like, oh no, David Johnson, we're just gonna go get Le'Veon. You know, it just doesn't seem like anybody's gonna have, you know, the Big Ben, Le'Veon, Antonio Brown, maybe even Martavis, just Pittsburgh onslaught. You think about doing any of that in tournaments, or like getting any kind of, you know, major exposure to that game? It is Pittsburgh at home. They could completely go off.
Yeah, I think it's a spot where I think I would play – I wouldn't play the onslaught. Like, I'm just not the onslaught guy. I either play a quarterback, wide receiver, or I play the running back. Le'Veon Bell is a guy that if Rhodes plays and shadows Antonio, I think I'm going to take a stand on Le'Veon and play him because I just don't know who else on Pittsburgh can catch a short pass. You know, the Minnesota pass rush is going to require Ben to get the ball out quick. And, like, unless Jesse James or, like, Sammy Coates, like, I don't even think he's on the team anymore, but, like, one of those guys that, like, there's just not really a short pass catch option other than Le'Veon. And if Le'Veon's going to catch six or seven balls at 10 to 12% owned in a spot where they're at home and they can crush and he's super low owned, like, this is a spot where I could hop on Le'Veon Bell. But, you know, but that's another more reason why I probably can't get to Zeke. Like, if I need to fit Bell in, like, good luck me finding a way to fit in Bell and Zeke.
Oh, there's – well, no, there's absolutely no way. But I just think to me, Zeke, there's no reason – can you at least agree that there's no reason that Zeke shouldn't be a little bit closer to Le'Veon as far as his pricing?
Oh, yeah. Like, he's definitely a value, and I think it's all by a name in terms of the matchup as opposed to the actual, like, quality right. of the opponent.
No, I get it.
I think the ownership's probably about 10 to 15% too low. I think he should be, like, right there with Melvin Gordon this week, and that's why I want to do it. I just – don't know if my desire to do that will be high enough to make it actually happen. Like, you have to cut somewhere, and I fear Zeke is going to be the spot I cut.
One spot where you can obviously cut, as we talked about earlier, with some of these cheap ones, is at the tight end position. And Warren Sharp on the Sharp DFS analysis show with Chris Jimino and Chris Raybon had this to say about a tight end that he had his eyes on.
Yeah, I think Cameron Brate, tight end for the Bucs. I believe he's priced at tight end 14 right now on FanDuel. And look, Austin Hooper, he's only targeted twice, caught both of them. One was obviously a blown coverage, but he still averaged, 64 yards per attempt on two targets. He was getting some big chunk yardage there. They just lost Drell Freeman, inside linebacker for the Chicago Bears, who covers and basically takes over that middle of the field for them. So I think it's a big edge for Cameron Brate. One of the big reasons is in Tampa, we talk about Mike Evans, and then everybody's curious to start rostering, you know, DeSean Jackson and that new player. But Cameron Brate sort of flying under the radar there with that passing offense. For Atlanta, Austin Hooper is flying under the radar, but for deserved reasons. I mean, he had a great game, but he's only targeted twice. They don't need to use him so much. They've got so many other weapons with Atlanta, and they throw the ball so often to the running backs that they don't really need to have the diversity to get their tight ends involved much. We didn't see them involve their tight ends much last year, and I doubt that they're going to like go heavily invested towards involving him this year. So I don't think that's any reason to shy away just because the tight end for Atlanta didn't have a ton of target share last week. I really do think Cameron Brate has got a great matchup here. They're playing at home. It's a high percentage target. Throwing the ball to the tight end is the most high percentage pass that a quarterback can make across the board. Not every single scenario situation, but he's more reliable. It's a better success rate targeting the tight end than a wide receiver or than a running back. So there's just this great dynamic. And if the head coach down there in Tampa is concerned with, you know, Jameis getting too crazy, making too many mistakes with their defense, which he reiterated on Hard Knocks, I think they're going to target the tight end position a little bit more frequently. And Cameron Brate's just in a great spot from an injury perspective to the opposing team, as well as just an overall matchup perspective, and a target that, likes to be utilized there by Jameis Winston.
All right, so that was Warren Sharp, and hey, by the way, what a cool new show that is with Warren Sharp and Chris Raybon and Chris Jimino. Those dudes are sharp dudes, man. If you haven't watched that whole show, you should go back and watch. But he talks about the loss of Gerald Freeman. So basically, one of the main coverage linebackers in the Bears defense. He thinks Cameron Brate is going under the radar with all the talk of the other pass catchers. He also kind of uses an example what Hooper did last week, which I think is kind of a little bit of a thin line of reasoning considering Hooper was only targeted twice. But I mean, I think he made some pretty good points. I know that you have a strong opinion on this.
I love Cameron Brate this week. I was not happy when I heard Warren Sharp start talking about him. He was a guy that was very under the radar this week. Hadn't heard anything about, and I was really quite happy with that. He's a sleeper tight end that I wanted to play week one, and I was perfectly happy to play week two. He's going to get a lot of the slot work. Freeman's out. This is a really, really good spot. Everyone saw the Bears play well, but now they lost their best player, and no one's talking about it. This is a spot where I think Brate, and honestly, the entire Tampa passing offense is going to mash, and I think it's one of the spots that's being vastly overlooked this week, and I'm really happy to attack it at low ownership. Maybe I push it up to 5%, but he should be a 10, 15% owned guy, and he's not going to be, and I'm happy to be overweight.
I guess I worry just a little bit about O.J. Howard. I mean, seeing more targets in the third preseason game.
Rookie tight ends never do anything.
I understand. I totally understand. And, you know, there is the narrative that he's kind of the blocking guy. We hear Jameis all the time talk about how Cameron Brate's an important part of this thing. I mean, I totally get it, but he was out targeted in the third preseason game by O.J. Howard. Granted, it was only three targets to two targets. So I think that if I could kind of like it, it would mean that I definitely don't like Mike Evans just because of, just what the Bears do with those cover five schemes and things like that. They kind of funnel the underneath passes and stuff. So, I mean, I guess it kind of works to me. It's just, I don't know. There's so many of these other, do you like Brate best out of all these kind of cheap tight end options?
I like Fleener the most, but Brate's right behind.
So you like Fleener the most, then you like Brate. Do you even like Charles Clay at all? Any interest in Charles Clay?
No.
9 targets last week, 3 end zone targets last week. None of that interests you at all? Like, I think he's only 2,700. Is he 30?
3K.
3,100.
3K. I just
– looks like he's 3K.
I'm not a Clay guy. I understand it. Just for me, it's not really a situation I want to attack against Carolina.
Are you gonna pay up at all for Gronk?
I will. Yeah, Gronk's one of the Patriots I do like a lot. So I'll have a lot of Gronk. A lot of 2 tight end lineups could be very well in my future. I could see that. I really like these tight ends, and if I just got to find a way to get more tight end slots, then welcome to the flex, because these are all really good options, and it's a solid way to help you pay up for Julio and Davante Adams and Ty Montgomery and Brady and all those guys in those 2 games that you really want.
I guess that's true, because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, it's really hard to find a wide receiver or a running back that's going to return the kind of value as like a 3K, you know, Kobe Fleener or something like that. So yeah, I totally get it. I guess we're all through the clips. So let me get your thoughts on a couple of these guys that came in that have some interesting props. And the second best prop so far behind Kobe Fleener that's come in, and like I said, I only have 3 games in so far on these early props, but it's Marquise Lee at home versus Tennessee. He's 3,800 on DraftKings. His receptions prop is 4.5 receptions. His receiving yards prop is 55.5 receiving yards with touchdown odds of +175. So that's projected scoring. If you transform those touchdown odds to 12.23, that's like 3.22x value with upside from there. Any thoughts on Marquise Lee or, you know, if you don't like Leonard Fournette, do you happen to like any – like, I don't know. I saw on PFF, Adoree Jackson actually graded out pretty well last week at their rookie corner. But it seems to me like that guy's pretty, you know, pretty beatable. That whole core has been beatable for, you know, the last 2 years. Do you like any of these guys, Hearns, Lee? It's just –
I don't like them. Will they find their way into rosters? Probably. you know, like, you're going to need to find some cheap value this week. If I'm going to try to fit in Bell and Zeke in some teams. So, you know, if I decide to make that decision, I'll need to fit in guys like Lee or Hearns. I'm not wild about it. I think I like Lee over Hearns. He's got the better matchup. But, yeah, those are the type of guys that I normally don't like playing. I like normally getting mid-tier guys, but we'll see how the week shakes out. It's a little too early for me to kind of make that call. They're really not good players, so they're kind of like the last guy in.
Yeah, well, all right. So as long as just one more question about receivers in that tier. Any thoughts on J.J. Nelson? I've kind of heard some buzz on him ever since we got word that John Brown's going to be out. What is a terrific matchup against that atrocious Indy defense?
Yeah, I love J.J. Nelson. That's a guy that is definitely on the move. He had like a 28% market share of the catches last week, or the targets last week, and that was with John Brown. So, yeah, J.J. Nelson's a guy that I like a lot this week, and definitely a really good tournament play.
It feels like a lot of people are going to be falling on those guys, which is with the way the roster construction is kind of taking you here with your flex and stuff like that. Another guy like that that's at the top of this prop sheet that I have up at rosterwatch.com for our pro members is James White. He is, of course, at New Orleans. What Lord Reeves called on this on Roto Grinders this week, the Coors Field of NFL DFS. It's our number 11 matchup for opposing running backs. He's $4,000 on DraftKings. The receptions prop, the early receptions prop is 3.5 receptions. And the rushing plus receiving prop
is 50.5 yards with a pretty high 175 plus 175 touchdown prop. So that's 10.73. It's 2.68 X value there, with obviously some upside from there. You know, you're a big Patriots fan. What are your thoughts on James White? Or is it just too hard to pick with this? I mean, Burkhead, Gillislee, you know, James White. I mean, Russian roulette. What do you think?
I think I would roster White the last of every skill position player on the Patriots not named Deion Lewis. Like, I would roster Rex. I would roster Gillislee, who's getting completely lost this week because, oh, he only scored the red zone touchdowns. So it's okay for Le'Veon Bell to be slowed down, to skip camp and be slowed down, but not for Gillislee to get more market share as he moves on. Like, I don't understand why everyone just assumes, like, oh, Gillislee got 30% of the snaps. That means he's going to get 30% of the snaps every week moving forward. Or he was slowed down by a hamstring and they're gradually working him in into the, like, to be the feature guy. They did give up a fifth-round pick and pay him good money, and he was really effective. Like, why can't his market share go up? Of course it can. So, for me, it's like I think Rex, like, the reports are coming out, he won't be a full-time slot. When you hear, like, dangler language, like, full-time with the Patriots, that's when you know that, like, okay, they know something's going to get out, and now they're just going to try to spin it a little bit. I think Rex is going to be the guy. He ran a more of a wide receiver tree at Cincinnati. I think he's the better fit. When James White splits out, he normally splits out wide. He'll get snaps for sure. He'll get some carries for sure. I just don't see the ceiling there. I think his ceiling is the least of the five. So for me, it's no James White for me this week. And if I get burned because he gets the touchdowns, so be it.
No James White and all the Rex?
It's probably mostly most of the Gillislee, the Hogan, and the Gronk for me. On DraftKings, I'll play Cooks on FanDuel. I'll have some Rex, but he's above James White. So, like, I would go, like, Hogan, Gronk, Gillislee, Cooks, Rex, and then White.
All right, but just so we're clear, are you under the impression that the reports coming out of New England that Rex Burkhead is going to play the slot, you think there's something to those reports?
I think they're very accurate, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I mean, that would clearly be a big deal if he got.
I just don't think Philip Dorsett can be ready. He can't possibly be ready. Like, they were forced into it last week, and he just was lost. Like, there's just no way he can be ready. I don't think it's fair for the Patriots to ask him to be ready to run a full snap count.
Or a full route tree. He ain't a good route runner. He hasn't been going back to. I mean, he hasn't developed one bit as a route runner. So.
Yeah, and anyone who's followed me in DFS knows that I view route running as, like, one of the most important traits of a wide receiver coming out of college. You can't run routes. Like, I have no interest in you in any format. So I think it's a situation where I like Gronk, I like Hogan, I like Gillislee, and then after that, it's kind of going to be, you know, can I afford the Cooks price on DraftKings? Probably not. Situation like that. But I think Gillislee is the guy who I'm probably going to have the biggest stand on versus the field.
All right, and we'll do one more of these. Just your thought on one of these props before we get to, you know, some kind of, maybe we'll do – we don't really have a thing we do at the end of the show. Maybe we'll do the guy who we liked the most this week or something like that. But this is a guy who I haven't heard anything about. I haven't heard touted anywhere, and it looks like he's got a pretty decent prop for his price. It's Emmanuel Sanders versus Dallas. It looks like he's only 5,200 on DK. His receptions prop, his early receptions prop, is 5 receptions, and it's for 65.5 yards with touchdown odds of plus 175. That transforms to 13.73 DK points for 2.64x value. He's kind of right there in the same value tier as a James White, as far as what Vegas is telling us early on. Any thoughts at all about Manny Sanders? He was somebody that I mean, I guess neither of these guys, Demaryius Thomas, Manny Sanders, usually don't fall on my radar. Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The price is probably $1,000 too cheap. I just don't know if I need to go there this week. I think there's other guys in the tier I like more. But if you're a guy who wants to, you know, maybe you're playing Zeke and you want to run it back with Sanders on the other side and hopefully that game gets going. For me, it's not really a situation that I would attack too hard. That's just me.
Let me ask you one other question. Beast mode.
Are you worried at all about a 48% snap count out of him? And here's my thing about the Oakland Jets game. I worry that if the game script does go as people are hoping for, where they get up and they're going to need to pound the rock to kill the clock, I worry a little bit since Beast Mode's so old. Maybe they're not going to use him to close. I have some fears there. Is he going to be chalk? I mean, I like the spot, but I have worries about it. Where are you on Marshawn Lynch this week at home versus the Jets?
I think it's fine. I worry that you do when the game gets out of hand. He won't be the one on the field. I think it'll be DeAndre Washington. So I'm just not really sure what the ceiling there is. I think it's fine. It's just not a spot that I'm in super much love with.
All right. So finally, we'll get to our big call. Let's call it the big calls of the week. Mine's just going to be Ezekiel Elliott is the highest scoring running back on the week by at least 7 points on DraftKings. The big dog is going to eat and eat and eat and eat. The game plan is going to be tailored to him. I can't get enough Zeke Elliott in my lineups this week.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. I'm going to go with Taylor Gabriel. I really like his match against House this week. I think he's going to score 2 touchdowns. And I think he's going to troll the world. I really just like this spot versus House. We saw him have a big game that first time when Trufant's there. I think Trufant's going to be on Jordy Nelson way more than people think. And I think that's going to really affect that ownership of the Packers. I think people are going to be way too heavy on Nelson and not heavy enough on Davante Adams. So for me, like, those are probably my two big calls of the week is Gabriel and Davante. But I'll go with Gabriel because I think that's a little more of a hot take.
The Taylor Gabriel 2-touchdown monster. We're going to pull the George Costanza. We are getting out of here on a high note. It is the DFS Weekly Roundup. It's been CJ Kaltenbach. You can follow him on Twitter at TheSiegeDFS. I am Alex Dunlap. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexDunlapNFL. You can find all of my work at rosterwatch.com. Until next week, we're getting the hell out of here.